If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God gives you serotonin and melatonin, and it's genetically created to be revealed at sunset and released at sunset. That's why you get sleepy. There are certain foods you can eat that can stimulate it. That's why after we eat fried chicken and collard greens and macaroni and cheese, we start yawning. So there are certain things that stimulate it. But what do we need?
Rest.
What does Jesus invite us to him to receive? Why is that important? Why would Jesus invite me someplace to receive something if it were not important? You have need of rest. Some of you now, you're so tired, you drove yourself to come to church, but you fell asleep. So Paul says, all right, now I've already told the Romans that there is an issue between the flesh and the spirit. But my Galatian audience, they're a little more pragmatic. The Galatians are filled with everybody like me. So he says, I have to give them specific understanding. They need to realize where the conflict comes. And then they need to understand how the conflict is addressed. So when we get to the fifth chapter of Galatians, he starts talking to us about these characteristics. First, he says, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. And the King James says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But in the Greek, it says, walk in the Spirit and fulfill not. It's a command in the Greek. In this particular rendering, it seems to offer you a reasonable explanation. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not know. In the Greek, he says, walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. That adds credibility to what he says in Romans when he teaches that sin happens when we yield our members. So what he's saying is if you walk in the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He does not say they will not be there. He does not say that those lusts do not rise. He does not say that those lusts are not intrinsic to the flesh. Once again, the apostle puts the operation of those things in your hands. Fulfill not. In other words, don't do it. If you were not capable of doing it, if it were not possible, then the scripture would not command you. So apparently you have more power over you than you thought. You ever use the I can't help it? I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Let's rephrase. I want to do it because it feels good. We don't want to do anything that looks bad. You ever go around and you just get a desire for Brussels sprouts? I've not encountered anybody that just woke up, child, I sure want some Brussels sprouts right now. Hallelujah. I just got such a taste. You go to the diner. You give me a plate of, I just had a taste for Brussels sprouts. But you notice you get a taste for ice cream. You get a taste for stuff that's not, you know, nutritionally good for you. You never get a taste for, I woke up this morning, let me tell you something, brother, sister, I woke up, and Miles, I had asparagus on my mind. You'll never do that. I've never encountered anybody who has ever come to me and said, Pastor, can we cut this meeting short? I got to eat me some asparagus. We don't crave what's good for us. We'll eat it. Some of you say, oh, yeah, Pastor, I like broccoli. Sure you do, but I don't see you have a bag of it. We've gone through the church to clean up the church. We picked up Cheerios now and laters. We've picked up potato chips, cookie crumbs. We've even picked up sequins off your clothes. But we have never picked up the leaves from broccoli. I never see anybody sitting in church. What you eating, broccoli? Want some? Why? We don't crave what's desirous for the spirit, only the flesh. I've never heard anybody say, child, I miss God so much. I just need to pray. It is the most dynamic concept of your spirituality, and yet you don't crave it. So Paul teaches us that we need not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, the flesh is warring against the spirit. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It does. You want to pray? Your flesh wants to sleep. You want to stay up all night and party and watch television? He's wide awake. Time to read the Bible. You have a 1 year. We have a 1 year Bible reading program. So we have a 1 year Bible reading. And you start reading it, and all of a sudden your mind just goes into something else you have to do, and you close it up and go do whatever else you have to do. Child, that's right, I forgot. I had to go be with so-and-so, and I had to go do such-and-such. It's time for me to do this. And you're sitting there reading your Bible, and you doze off. But you can watch a Kevin Costner movie without a yawn. We become so inquisitive about things that are natural that we shouldn't even care about. Prince is dead. How'd he die? What do you care? If you died, do you think he's going to ask how you died? I don't care how Prince died. I'm sorry that he died, but it ain't messing up my day. People still going around. I want the doctor that gave Michael Jackson the drugs to be prosecuted. He need to go to jail. Michael was grown. He didn't have to take that stuff. Although I can understand how good it felt. I had a procedure, and they put that anesthetic in me. When I woke up, I said, Doc, can I take some of that home? I pastor a church. He said, no, I'm sorry, we can't get it to you. I said, please, I said, in the name of Jesus. I love that feeling, because the flesh, it wants what it wants. Just like you're sitting there looking at me now. You know, some of you in your flesh are going, I wish he'd hurry up. I'm hungry. They just reopened Michael's. I want to get around there and get me a seat before all the other church people come. Come on, Bishop, come on. Somebody start saying amen so he can stop. I'm not stupid. I didn't just start this journey. But I'm going to keep you here until we're all on one accord. Yeah. Until all I feel is, preach as long as you want to, then I'll let you go in 45 minutes. Like James Brown said, try me. So he says, these two are contrary. I love that verb, that word there, that noun. He says, the two are contrary. You ever meet a contrary person? Have you really? Now, somebody said, no, thank you for your honesty. A contrary person is one who just goes against everything. They just find a reason to say no. I think we're going to get yellow pencils. I want blue. I think we ought to have a circle prayer. I think we should be in a diagonal. I think we should pray at 6. The Lord said 6:15. They're just contrary. Well, Paul says that's how your spirit and flesh are. They're just contrary. The flesh says eat. The spirit says fast. The spirit says fast. The flesh says eat. The spirit says love. The flesh says get even. There's just contrariness. You would think. With all of that contrary behavior, you would be schizophrenic. You would think that you would walk around, oh, my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to, I just don't have any peace because one of me goes here, the other of me goes there. Hallelujah. So you wind up being like the Scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz. You're hanging up on that pole saying, I should, and then Dorothy says, which way should I go? The yellow brick road is ended. He says, go that way. Then she says, she turns around. He says, and some people find it to go this way. And so the Scarecrow is confused. And how many of us have scarecrows in our lives? They give us confusing advice. Listen to this. Pastor says this, but I'm going to do what God tells me. You're contrary. God has never undercut his leader. Now, if his leader's not living right, he's not undercutting him. He's just removing him. But if the leader is living right, God isn't going to tell you to do something contrary to what I say. He's not going to tell you to do that. You say, well, wait a minute. What about God speaking to me? Yes, he can speak to you. But when it affects the others, when your behavior, your actions, your demonstration affects others, it must come under the guidance of the leader. So if the leader says, you say, God told me to sit over here. Steve says, God told me to sit over there. And sitting over there, Roz says, this is for the praise and worship team, and he shouldn't be sitting there, and it affects them in a negative way. I said, God didn't tell you that. Go sit over there. And if he says, I ain't moving because God told me to sit here, he's contrary. See, that's what Paul says, the flesh and the spirit, contrary. He said, I know I'm right. I've been right a lot of times. I've been wrong more times than I'm right. But I've been right a number of times. But it doesn't mean that just because I'm right, I have to have my way. That's why the Bible says there are times you have to take down. What did he tell the Corinthians? Just take the wrong. You've been wrong. Take it. Don't fight. You know the liberty that comes with not having to correct everybody? Somebody misquotes a scripture. In the old days when I was young and ambitious, I turn around and, nope, that's not what the scripture says. Now they requoted it, they quoted wrong. Now, but praise the Lord, maybe they got a new slant on it. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. Bible doesn't say try the Spirit by the Spirit. What if your spirit is wrong? So Paul said they're contrary. That doesn't mean I don't want to do things. When I sat in the pew, I wanted to do things, but I had to run them through the filter of my leader. Because God gives my leader. Here's an example. My pastor made a person, a deacon, that I thought was a Philistine. I knew this man was born worshiping Dagon. He was a Philistine with a smattering of Amalekite. He was just a heathen. He had marital problems. He was going to divorce his wife. It was a horrible situation. And when I heard Pastor was going to make him a deacon, I went down on the front row. I went to the front row, and I prayed. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, because you know when you really want something done, you got to say in the name of Jesus. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, you touch his heart and have him change his mind. And then I said, God, why in the world would he do that? And the Lord spoke to me one of five times I heard his voice audibly. He said, you're not the pastor. I was done. I got up, embraced the brother. He went on to become a pastor with an outstanding ministry. What if God had made the pastor listen to me with my personal desires? He may have discouraged that man. That man repented, went on, and as I said, became an outstanding member of the ministry of God. Has a ministry today that is so great. Humble servant of God. Because God saw something that I didn't see. And he didn't have to tell me. He told his leader. I was contrary. But God loved me. So he said, shut up. Shut up. I didn't make you the pastor. Now, obviously, he doesn't want us to drink the Kool-Aid. But he does want us to follow the leadership as long as it's biblical. So he says the works of the flesh. He says this is how they are. He said they're contrary. In verse 19, these are the works of the flesh. What are they? Contrary attitudes. Paul lumps them together. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Those four in verse 19 speak to sexual immorality.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring, power flows through you. Every time you say that name.
Come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a 3-mile revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.